Thank you that you speak to us by your living word. We pray today that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts upon what you speak would be glorifying to you and pleasing to you and edifying to us, that indeed we may walk in the light of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, and happy post-Thanksgiving. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving a couple days ago, enjoyed some turkey and pie and all that good stuff. And happy, as Kyle said, happy New Year. Happy New Year. Give a round of applause. It's New Year, y'all. Come on. As Kyle said, this is the start of the new church year, the liturgical year, the season of Advent. First Sunday of Advent begins a new year. And the season of Advent, maybe some of you have heard this, maybe you haven't. The word Advent comes from a Latin word, adventus, which means coming or arrival. It's fitting that that's the name of the season, because in these four Sundays and these 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, we are renewing our hope as we remember the first coming of Christ, who came pretty scandalously in the flesh of an infant to die on a cross. And yet, we also use this season, and God in grace works through this season, to renew the real reality that we are waiting for the King to return in robes of white as glorious victor and judge. And in that season, we renew our waiting and our watching and our expectant hoping and our living in light of the reality that this is not the final home that we live in, but Christ is returning. It makes sense of our Matthew reading, which I just read in the gospel. If you read that, you hear that, you say it's November 27th, it's the weekend after Thanksgiving, Christmas is full blown, but that gospel text was not Christmassy, was it? Like, where's baby Jesus in that? Well, it's not a Christmas text, it's an Advent text, where Jesus, before he's crucified, is preparing his disciples for his return and how to live in light of that. And if we were to look at Matthew 24 today, there's a lot of stuff going on in there. There's a lot of theological things you could talk about, but don't miss the main point of what Jesus is saying. Nobody knows when I'm coming back, so be ready. Stay awake. Be ready. Stay awake. And by God's grace, in the season of Advent, we start the new year being reminded to be ready and to renew our watching and our waiting. That leads us to the question today, though, of how do I do that? How do I stay awake and watch and wait for Jesus? How do I be on the ready for the return of Christ, which could come at any moment? We don't know when he's going to return. And today I want to use the language of Isaiah and the language we just prayed in the Collect for Purity and the language that we're going to pray in our Collect later today. We wait for Christ and we renew our watching for Christ by walking in the light of the Lord. Come, brothers and sisters, this Advent, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Renew your waiting in Jesus this Advent, and come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. That's how we wait. We actively walk in the light of the Lord. It's poetic. It's beautiful. But what does that mean, to walk in the light of the Lord? That's what we're looking at today. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. This is the text we're going to be looking at. If you've got a Bible, open to Romans 13. If you've got a Bible on your phone, open up that. Today, by the Holy Spirit, in grace, writing through Paul, we're going to see, in light of the return of Jesus, how do we walk in the light? How do we wait? To give some context on the book of Romans, this is a book that the Apostle Paul writes in around 57 AD. When Paul writes this letter, we today in the church say this is like the most magnificent, theologically deep truth, like tome of Paul. But we have to remember in humility that actually this letter, though it is full of deep theology, is a fundraising letter. Paul is writing a letter to the church of Rome. He knows people in the church, but he's never been to the church. But he's planning to go on his final missionary journey, which he ultimately doesn't achieve, to go to Spain. And his plan is to stop in Rome on his way to Spain. And he's writing Rome, the church, in advance to say, hey, Here's the gospel I know, so you can trust me. He does that in the first 8 chapters. Here are the implications of the gospel, how we live in light of it. And I'm coming to you. Will you support me as I go to Spain? In our specific passage, verses 8 through 14, Paul is saying, in light of the return of Jesus, here's how to wait. That's what we want to consider this Advent. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord as we start this season. How do we do that? First, what we see in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14, is that we walk in the light of the Lord, and I want us to renew that this season through confession and repentance. We walk in the light of the Lord as we renew our waiting for Jesus through confession and repentance. Just as when John the Baptist shows up on the scene preparing people for the first coming of the Messiah, his message is what to the people? Repent. So we, as we wait for Jesus, we look at the world around us and we see the brokenness and we long for his return, but we also recognize there's still brokenness in me. So we walk in the light by confession and repentance. This is how Paul says it. Look at verse 11 with me. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. Why? Because salvation is nearer to us now than when we first became believers. The night is far gone and the day is near. He's saying the return of Jesus is imminent. It could come, like Jesus said, at any moment. The night is the present evil age, and it's far gone. It's nearly over. And the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, is near. He's coming back, Paul is saying. Therefore, what? Repent. This is how Paul says it in 3 ways. We walk in the light through confession and repentance. Verse 11, you know what time it is, how it's now the moment for you to wake from your sleep. He's saying, wake up from your moral drowsiness, because Jesus is coming back. Jesus says, stay awake. At this point in church history, Paul says to some believers, wake up. He's returning. Then in verse 12, the night is far gone, the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the works of darkness. Put off the works of darkness. Turn away from the works of darkness. Those thoughts and those words and those actions and those heart postures that are darkness, that are sin. Put them away. Turn from them. Repent. And then we see in verse 13, let us live honorably as in the day, not in, and he gives some examples of works of darkness, not in reveling and drunkenness, like drunkenness and drunken parties. Not in debauchery and licentiousness, i.e., literal Greek there, sexual sin. Sin, sexual sin outside of marriage between a husband and a wife. Pornography, lustful thoughts and fantasies, etc. Not just the outward sins, also not in quarreling and jealousy, those sins of our hearts, the bitterness we hold towards others. The anger we hold towards others, the other unforgiveness and the chains of that we hold others in, forgetting Jesus has broken our chains by forgiving us. Paul says, throw those off. Walk in the light of the Lord. He's returning. Prepare for that return by repentance. And here's why Paul is saying this to people who are already Christians, and here's why the Spirit in love says it to us today. Because it is way too easy, is it not? To say I am a believer, to say the creed on Sunday, and then to live my life as if Jesus was not returning. It's too easy, is it not, even to look at these words and to know what the Bible says about these things and say, yes, that is what the Bible says, and then to hear what culture says about these things and say, and the Bible must just be too traditional. Or surely it doesn't mean this, because everybody's doing this. Brothers and sisters, if you've fallen asleep, if you've lived into some of these works of darkness, either because you've just fallen asleep or you're justifying these things in your life, everybody does that. If I'm with friends, it's safe. This isn't hurting anybody. take heed of what Paul says. These are works of darkness. Cast them off. Hear what the Spirit says in 1 John verses 6 and 9. If we say we have fellowship with Jesus while we walk in darkness, we lie. We do not do what is true. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. This Advent, walk in the light of the Lord by confession and repentance. Throw off the works of darkness. Of course, that makes us have to wonder, how do I do that? And Paul gives us some hints. Verse 14, look there with me. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. How do I walk in the light of the Lord through confession and repentance? It's by not giving my flesh what it wants in terms of sin. We talked about this in my life group a couple weeks ago. Someone used the language of starving, like starve my sin. Don't feed it. Be it lust, be it drunkenness, be it pride, be it greed. Don't feed it. Don't let it have rein. And don't make a path for it to come into your life. As Jesus says, cut it off. And yet, it doesn't stop there. Walking in the light is not just our own personal wrestling with our sin and confessing it. If we look at other scriptures, we see it also means we bring it to light with others. In Ephesians 5, verse 11, Paul says, don't participate in the works of darkness. Instead, expose them. Bring them to the light. In 1 John 7 and 9, John says this, confess your sins. If we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us. In James 5, 16, James says this when he's talking about prayer, confess your sins to one another, that you may be healed. We walk in the light of the Lord through confession. And of course, that doesn't mean come up here and tell everybody, well, this week I did this and this and this and this. And certainly it means confess your sin to God in your closet. But I think often we forget and we disqualify the value of confessing to another believer, to someone who embodies the Spirit of Jesus and will embody the words of forgiveness as we confess. So I wonder this Advent, do you have someone in your life, one person, a few persons, pastors, life group leaders, just fellow Christians that you know are rooted in the gospel that you can bring your heart to the light in? Scary, right? Intimidating. But here's the beautiful reality as we do that. As we walk in the light, bringing our darkness to the light with the Lord and with a few others, life comes from it. Ephesians 5, where Paul says, bring to light the works of darkness, he then says in verse 13, for anything that's brought to the darkness becomes visible and is made light. And what's made visible actually becomes light. It's redeemed. It becomes beautiful in the hands of the Lord. In 1 John 7 and verse 9, John says, if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse you. James 5, 16 says, confess your sins to one another that you may be damned, that you may be healed. I love in C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce, there's this beautiful picture of it. I won't explain the whole book, but basically there are hellions who are given a tour of heaven and they're being convinced or trying to be persuaded by those who are in heaven to stay and to not go back to hell. And there's this one man who's a ghost. That's what the hellions are. They're ghosts. They're vestiges of what they used to be on earth. And he has this red lizard on his shoulder, and this red lizard is lust. And it whispers to him. And an angel of the Lord approaches the man as he's going back to the bus to go back to hell. And he says, are you going so soon? And the man says, yeah, it's just not my place up here. And this like red thing on my shoulder is just too embarrassing. And the angel says, well, I can kill it if you want. And the man says, that'd be rather nice, actually. I'd kind of like for you to kill it. And so then the angel approaches the man and says, let me do it right now. Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not prepared for surgery. let me go back to hell and consult my doctor, and then maybe I'll come back. The angel says, no, this is the moment. And there's this back and forth, and eventually the man says, God, help me! Just kill it! And the angel takes the lizard, and he crushes it and breaks its back and throws it on the ground. And the narrator is watching the scene unfold, and he says, immediately the man, who is a ghost, took form and became a human, and became almost as glorious as the angel before him. And to his surprise, this red lizard didn't die. It was writhing on the floor, but it actually started to grow. And it became a beautiful stallion with a golden mane, and the man jumped on the horse and rode it up into the mountains of the heavens. This Advent, we walk in the light through confession and repentance, because that's where the Lord heals you. What if this Advent, rather than just floating in a daze through the busyness of the season, we actually attended to our hearts and brought our darkness to the light, so that come Christmas Day, we're actually more healed than we were today? And we're actually more thankful for the reality that Jesus took on flesh to heal my darkness. That's the first part of walking in the light of the Lord, confession and repentance. But as one of my friends, Anglican priest, retired Jeff Chapman, says, the gospel has a no, but it also has a yes. It's got a repentance and it's got a new life. And what we see is it's not just say no to sin and turn away from sin. There's also the reality that when we walk in the Lord of Jesus, there's a beautiful yes. And that's the second aspect Paul points to in walking in the light of the Lord, this beautiful yes. We walk in the light of the Lord together, not just through repentance, but also through loving each other. We walk in the light of the Lord as we renew our waiting by loving one another, brothers and sisters. Paul says it this way: it's not just put off the works of darkness, it's also put on the armor of light. It's not just forsake debauchery and licentiousness and all these things, but also walk honorably as in the day. It's not just put off the gratifying of your flesh, it's also put on Jesus Christ. We walk in the light of the Lord by putting on the beautiful light of Jesus. And in the context of Romans chapter 13, our passage today, that means loving each other as Jesus has loved us. We see this in verse 8, first half of our passage. Paul says it this way: owe no one anything. Like he's talking about like financial debt. Don't stay in debt. If you have debt, pay it off. Except here's the one debt you always owe everybody: love one another. And then he explains why. Because the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandment: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. Any other commandment, be it in the Ten Commandments or be it in any of the commandments of God, are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love fulfills the law. Paul is saying, here's the thing I want you to know, Romans. And the Spirit says, here's what I want you to know, church: while you wait, love one another. Why? Because it fulfills not just the law of the Old Testament, but the law of Jesus, who said loving God and neighbor are the most important commands. But Paul is also saying, love one another because Jesus is returning. Verse 11, besides this, besides the rationale I just gave you for why you should love one another, you know what time it is, how it's now the moment for you to wake your sleep from your sleep. Therefore, love one another because Jesus is coming back. We love one another as Jesus has loved us as we wait. We walk in the light through that. And here's the reality. We do that in the ways that Jesus has done it for us, and we do it within the Christian community. That's the context. Love each other, brothers and sisters. And it makes sense that Paul is saying to do this as we wait, because this is what Jesus says to do as we wait. John 13, Jesus has the Last Supper with his disciples. He's preparing his disciples that he's about to leave them, and he says, a new commandment I give you, that you, do you know what he says? You love. Say that again. You love one another as I have loved you. That's what I want you to do as you wait for me to return, Jesus is saying. Love one another. So that means this Advent, how about we renew that? How about we renew with our Christian friends, our classmates, our spouses, our children, our parents, even the people in our faith and our community that perhaps we don't really like? What if we love them as Jesus loved us? What if we actually consider them more important than ourselves and bear their burdens as Jesus has borne our burdens and weep with the ones who are weeping and rejoice with the ones who are rejoicing? What if we actually proverbially wash the feet of those brothers and sisters in our family, i.e. the family of God, taking a humble stature, no matter our normal status in life, to serve and love? What if we lay down our life for each other, giving our time and our talent and our resources for each other? Of course, it doesn't just apply to each other. Luke 10, parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus says, "Who is my neighbor? Your neighbor is anyone suffering. Different race, different religion, even your enemy." We've had a lot of mission spotlights lately. And I know some of us may be tempted to say, man, there's an overabundance of opportunities to give and to serve, and who's going to ask next? But I wonder, what if this is God saying, you know I call you to love the lost and the least, and here you go. Multiple opportunities. Don't do all of them, but consider, God's laying the table for us to live into his command by loving the lost and the least. Maybe this Advent you care for worthy women and teenagers in Kenya who are worthy to flourish. Or you help homeless women in Mooresville who want desperately to get a new life. Or you bring joy to low-income children at the Ada Jenkins Center by doing the simple thing of singing to them. What if this Advent, rather than focusing on what I want for Christmas or focusing on how busy my schedule is, I actually walk in the light of Jesus by loving my fellow brothers and sisters and the lost and the least? What if I actually slow down enough to share a meal with a fellow brother or sister in Christ or that neighbor who doesn't even know the Lord? What if I slow down enough to actually pick up the phone or get a meal with that brother or sister that I know is in this body really hurting? What if I slow down enough to go and serve those that are in need, the lost and the least? Do you know that the fruit of loving one another is joy? For the joy set before him, Jesus loved us to no depths, taking up his cross and enduring it. We walk in the light this Advent and we renew our waiting by loving one another, brothers and sisters. Renew your joy. There's one more aspect of walking in the light that I want to cover today, and it's subtle in our text, but it's utterly, utterly important. Because without this final aspect of walking in the light, we can't walk in the light and confession and love. Here's what it is. We walk in the light of the Lord by walking with the Lord, who is the light of the world. We walk in the light of the Lord by walking with the Lord, who is the light of the world. This is what Paul says in verse 14. Instead of putting on the works of darkness, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, that means imitate him, bear his character, look like him, but it's more than that. Paul doesn't say put on the character. He says put on the person of Jesus Christ. Have Jesus as close to you as your clothes are to your skin right now. The beautiful reality is that God has given us his Spirit, the Son, the Spirit of the Son, that is not just as close as your shirt to your skin, but who actually lives in you, the presence of Jesus with you. We renew our walking in the light of the Lord by walking with him. And again, this isn't just an idea from Paul, it's an idea from Jesus. John 15, as Jesus again is preparing his disciples for his departure from them, this is what he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. I'm about to leave you, but here's what I want you to do. Abide in me. Stay with me. Stick with me. Remain with me. Remain in me." Just as a branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, so you cannot bear fruit unless you abide in me. Abide in me. Abide in my love. Abide in my word. So this Advent, we renew our walking in the Lord by walking with the light of the world himself, Jesus, who is with us by his Spirit. And of course, you know, we do that by being with him in his word and listening to him, not just reading the Bible day in and day out, but actually listening to the God who speaks through his word. We do it by prayer, not just in that set apart time, but just talking to God throughout our day and listening to him. And yes, asking him for help for us, but also just praising him and adoring him and thanking him and praying on behalf of others. We do it by living in community with each other and continuing to walk in the light together and gathering in a place, in a space like this, where we come together to the table of the Lord and feast with him and meet with him. And we've given you an Advent guide that gives you lots of ways to abide with Jesus this Advent season. But here's why it matters. If we're not walking in the light of the Lord by walking with the Lord himself, who is the light of the world, are we really walking in the light? If I'm not walking day in and day out with the light of the world, is my darkness actually going to be visible in the light? Am I actually going to be healed and forgiven in the first place and then continually been given the grace of Jesus to be changed? If I'm not walking in the light of the Lord who lavishly loves you, do you know that? Jesus lavishly loves you. I'm not walking with that one. How can I sacrificially love those around me? If I don't walk in the light of the Lord with the Lord himself, who is the giver of life, how can I be renewed in my waiting? The call of the scripture today is to be awake or to wake up. And if you're asleep and you haven't been walking in the light of the Lord, the good news and the invitation of Jesus to you through this Advent season is there's still time. Wake up and walk in the light of the Lord. Come. Let us walk in the light of the Lord together with the Lord himself. This Advent, there's a lot of things you could do. One option that sounds really great is we could run around like chickens with our heads cut off, just hurried and scurried and busy by the season and our lists and our to-dos, and thus go unchanged because we're not attending to our hearts. Another option is we just sign up for every single possibility to keep ourselves busy so we're not lonely or so we feel like we have value and purpose. Or the third option is we walk in the light of the Lord, slowing down to be present to Jesus, who is present to us, and we let him heal our darkness, and we let him shape us to love others, and thus we renew our waiting with hope and joy. Come this Advent, brothers and sisters, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let me pray. You say, God, in your word and in the Psalms, through your people, you are true light. And in your light do we see light. And we believe that's true. That you are, Jesus, the light of the world, who has come to bring light to the darkness and who is coming again in power and glory to bring about a new heavens and a new earth that is glorious beyond our imaginations. And it's in you, Jesus, that we know how to walk. It's in you that we know how to love and actually can do that. It's in your light that we actually have light and grow and flourish. So I pray for myself and for my brothers and sisters this season, we would not miss you, Jesus, and we would not miss your gracious invitation to come and walk with you in your light. And by your grace, at the end of these 4 weeks, and as we go into the new calendar year and we continue the liturgical year, Lord, may we be a little bit more healed of our darkness through your love and through community. May we be a little bit stronger in loving one another. And may we be closer to you, the light of the world. It's in your name we ask these things, Jesus. Amen. If you guys will stand with me now as we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We confess these words with the church across time and history. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated as we pray to the light of the world.
In peace we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, friendless, and needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel, and all who seek the truth.
For our presiding bishop and our bishops, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God in your church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. Hear us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King. We pray for all who have died that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them. Together we pray the collect of the day. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness.
All who truly and earnestly repent of your sins and seek to live in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead the new life, following the commandments of God and walking in his holy ways, draw near with faith and make your humble confessions to Almighty God. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry. We humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. And Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in his great mercy has promised forgiveness of all sin to those who repent and truly turn to him with faith, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in everlasting life through the love and name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the word of God to all who truly turn to him. This saying is trustworthy and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Brothers and sisters, please stand. In light of the good news and the love and the mercy of God, the peace of God always be with you. Greet each other in the peace of Christ.